Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
One day trades.
2 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. You pick the songs. 410-583-1057 plus for text line. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That starts now. Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass is going to count them up, and we'll reveal later on in the program. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Terps, big game coming up Saturday afternoon, 3:30. Old school unis, old Bobby Ross, boomer style. 8.5-point favorites over the Spartans. Here to talk about that and everything else happening down at College Park. He is the athletic director of the University of Maryland. Joins us on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm on the phone with you guys. I'm fortunate.
You are the luckiest man on the face of the planet right now.
Yes, you are, Damon.
All right.
I know, according to the two of you, I am.
Right. When we talk to our wives, they have the exact opposite view, but that's another story altogether. Let's go back to Ann Arbor last Saturday, and the Terps, they hang and hang big time against Michigan, losing ultimately by 7. Where do you stand on moral victories? Because it seems as though Maryland gained more by losing that tight to Michigan than by beating up on a team they're supposed to beat up on.
Well, you know what? We don't really celebrate moral victories around here. Our goal is to continue to be highly competitive in the Big Ten, especially in this Big Ten East, which is a beast in and of itself. Our team played extremely well, felt that we could win that game. There's some things that didn't go our way in the game. When you got a game that's tight, that's where we want to be. We want to be in the game with the number 4 team in the country and give ourselves a chance to win, and we did that. There was a lot learned from the game. Our team responded well when it faced adversity. The opening kickoff, we didn't get our heads down after the fumble. We gave them one there. But we're just getting geared up to play the next game. But proud of how we're moving the program forward and what Mike Locksley is doing.
Now you go into this game on Saturday against Michigan State, game that could be heard on The Fan, of course, as pretty significant favorites against the team that won 11 games last year. How important is it, Damon, to, if you win by 1 or win by 101, a win's a win, but to go out there and maybe live up to the expectations now that others might have for the program?
It's nice to see that people have some good expectations about the University of Maryland and our football program. Our student athletes and our coaching staff have earned that, but we've got to continue to play well on the field. This is another opportunity. Michigan State presents a great opportunity for us to get a good win against a very formidable opponent. We just got to go out there, execute. I liked what I saw last week. Mm-hmm. Very few penalties. We showed that we had composure last week when we faced adversity, and that's got to carry over to this week. We can't just dwell on what happened this past weekend. We've got to build some momentum from it and go out there and take care of business against Michigan State. And from everything that I'm hearing and seeing, our team is focused in on this game and ready to play.
Hey, Damon, I was really impressed with the performance because it kind of changes, you know, people's attitude, changed my attitude, especially, you know, because I was driving, so I was listening to the game. And Michigan being up, you know, 7-0 after 8 seconds, I go, oh, man, now it's going to be 21-0 after the first quarter. You know, and then they take it right down the field, get a field goal and stuff to me. You know, and then they competed and played, you know, it was tied at the half. I said, yeah, this is a different Maryland team. And I would think, Damon, like from being on teams just like you, you know, the confidence that they gained. When they walked out of that stadium, you know they're a good football team. And I hope that they're practicing like that. And they got a little swagger, you know, this week. So I'm thinking they're feeling pretty good about the way they played. And now coming into this game, you got to stack them. That's going to be the biggest thing because they got a chance now to stack some wins, you know, if they continue to play football like that.
Well, part of building a program is, first and foremost, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe that you can win. You got to believe that you can overcome certain situations, challenges that you face. And I'm seeing that as we move forward. This team is growing. It's maturing. And it has this sense of we can go out and compete with anybody. And so I'm excited about we've got a great opportunity on Saturday against Michigan State. But it all comes down to what that final scoreboard says mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And we want to be on the right side of the ledger as it relates to the score and get a win and gain some momentum and continue to move forward and make our fans proud and show people what Mike Locksley is building here.
Hey, Damon, talk to me a little bit about a couple new things that are going on. Number one, you know, the partnership with CQ, and then also the Best is Ahead Foundation. So go ahead and, you know, tell the listeners about what's happening down at Maryland.
Well, this week we're going to be unveiling the new CQ Stadium here at Maryland. CQ is a great partner, a state agency that's been around for about 70-plus years. Our values are aligned with their values, some of the things that they do. When we decided to enter into this relationship, we didn't want it to be about just a sponsorship solely. We wanted this to be a partnership, something that would benefit not only athletics, but benefit our campus community and our surrounding community. So there are a lot of things that we'll be doing to partner with them, but they're excited about the revenue that will be generated from this. But also the other things that their kindness campaign that they do. They're going to put together some wellness, financial wellness programs for our faculty and staff, as well as doing some financial literacy courses for students. So this is going to be a great partnership, and we look forward to unveiling CQ Stadium this Saturday against Michigan State.
Now, what about the Best is Ahead Foundation? Sounds like we're getting NIL rocking and rolling, Damon.
Well, we got to make sure we can compete in this new landscape of intercollegiate athletics.
Yep.
You guys have heard me say it. I believe in name, image, and likeness. I'm happy that student-athletes can monetize their name, image, and likeness. And the Best is Ahead Foundation is just another example of our donors, our boosters, our fans, our supporters stepping up. I'm pleased with what Jeff Leventhal and Dan Crowley are doing and leading that organization to really give our student-athletes some opportunities. But the way they focus that organization in community service and things of that nature and targeting certain charities is so significant because it's not just about building the kids' brands and helping them to monetize their name, image, and likeness, but also preparing them for life beyond athletics. So great job by that group and looking forward to continuing to build out all assets as it relates to name, image, and likeness.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fantasy, does every Thursday. Basketball practices will begin here shortly. But for the men, schedule, as we've talked about before, Damon, the times are out and the TV networks and everything that goes along with it. But how important is it to increase the non-conference competition, and how aggressive are you guys going to be, you and Kevin Willard, as a program, and making sure that is kind of Gonzaga, for instance, they play in a weaker, air quotes, conference, so they play a ton of powerhouses before they get into conference play. How aggressive is Maryland going to be in trying to maintain that level of comp prior to Big Ten?
We're going to be extremely aggressive. I hope that our fans see by the schedule this upcoming year of what we're trying to do. You see UCLA on there coming to College Park, which is going to be a great game. You see us going to Louisville, another formidable opponent. Then we go to Tennessee back at Barclays. We played Florida at Barclays last year and got a good victory. We've got Tennessee coming up. And then I think we play in a tournament that includes Providence, Miami, and some others. So we're going to continue to schedule aggressively, but also we have to make sure that we have a balanced schedule as we move forward. So I'm excited what Willard's doing in that area, and hopefully that our fans appreciate what we're trying to do.
Damon, how's the crowd looking for this week? It looks like rain, so hopefully, you know, the Terps can handle the rain. But
Old school unis, too.
Yep, old school. What, you know, is there any other things going on other than people get to see you at halftime rocking those guns and everything?
You know what they get to see? They're going to get to see a well-oiled machine in our football team.
Oh, I thought you.
Uniforms that I know people are buzzing about, our fans love. It's a fan favorite. There's going to be some weather that we anticipate, and we need our fans to come out there more than ever during this time, because this is a time and an opportunity for Maryland to really step up, and we plan to do so. So rain, sleet, or shine, we need the fans to come out and take part in what we do on Saturday.
Damon, just get it over with. Send Vinny a selfie of you with guns out, please, so we can get over
this
thing.
You know what? Tell them to come work out with me there first.
Oh, I don't know if you want to do that.
You guys will be like Hans and Franz. He's David Evans, Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. Go to 1-800-I'm-a-Terp or umterps.com. And, of course, it is Thursday. Pick a song. Total Request Thursday at that.
You know, I can't remember if I picked this one before. I may have. It may be. But What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
Oh, strong selection. Thank you, Damon Evans. Enjoy Thursday. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Damon, we'll both be wearing large T-shirts, so they fit real tight.
Yeah, I'll be wearing a double XL, and it'll still be tight.
There we go. All right, Damon, have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
There we go. You guys going to oil each other up eventually. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the whip around. What's going on in the world of sports? Well, Aaron Judge, he tied history, probably will make history against the Orioles. And then other things happen in the world of sports, I guess, adversely for the Birds in their quest to get to the playoffs. You know, them putting out a crap lineup and losing to the Red Sox, the number one culprit there. Clifton Brown, BaltimoreRavens.com, joins us bottom of the hour. Ravens taking on Buffalo. Buffalo getting healthier defensively. We'll get into that film study later on in the program. But will we see Ronnie Stanley for the first time in over a year in a regular season game?
If I'm a betting man, Bob, I'm saying yes.
We'll talk to Clifton about that and more here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around. Today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last night at Rogers Center, Aaron Judge finally got off the schneid. What's he been waiting for?
And the 3-2. Joel deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it.
Wait, ties it, actually. Ties Roger Maris, 61 homers, which is the American League record, since been broken in Major League Baseball by McGuire, Sosa, and obviously Barry Bonds. But the American League record stood, 1961? What's this, Kerry? The 61 years since that record has been in place. And that record was scrutinized because Roger Maris, way back when, didn't do it in a buck 54. Babe Ruth had the record at 60. Sent way back when. Now Aaron Judge trying to break said record. They're off today, the Yankees. Orioles go there for three over the weekend. And if I'm a betting man, and I am, I'm just not good at it, he breaks Roger Maris's record over the weekend.
No doubt.
At home.
Yeah, the stress is gone now, you know. He can just, and he's going for the Triple Crown.
And they've already clinched the division. He's trying to hold off a rise, the second baseman for Minnesota, for the batting title. But impressive, because he's kind of been a one-man gang offensively for them for most, because Stan gets hurt. Yeah. They've had other guys have been in prolonged slumps. Maybe guys like Donaldson on the downside of things. Rizzo's provided homers, but the batting average has been kind of below average, no pun intended. But Aaron Judge has been a beast. He should be the MVP. I know Ohtani's brilliant, but it's most valuable player, not best player. And I know that line gets blurred from time to time. I mean, the Angels stink with Ohtani. Where they suck even worse?
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees are not winning their division without Aaron Judge. And I don't think that's up for debate.
Kind of like Lamar. What are the Ravens without Lamar?
They're crap.
Right.
They're last place, I would think.
Yeah.
In the AFC North. But congratulations to you, Aaron Judge, for tying Roger Maris. Roger Maris' son was there with Aaron Judge's mom, and they were celebrating. So congratulations to them. Seattle beats Texas 3-1. So the Mariners right now, essentially 5.5 up on the Orioles. It's 4.5 in the standings for the wild card, of course, but they own the tiebreaker. So the Orioles are up against it, running out of time. Time is short, whatever cliche you want to use, but it is what it is. Orioles taking on the Red Sox, by the way, at 135. We'll give you that lineup again because this one's more respectable. It actually has their best players in it, maybe a day late, dollar short. But look, Seattle's been stinking, and the door has been open for the Orioles to charge through for the better part of 10 days to 2 weeks.
Yep.
And the two losses to Detroit, losing Saturday and Sunday, Saturday especially to Houston, and now you're coming to Boston and lost 6 in a row. You know, it's just, they're not ready for prime time.
Well,
that's obvious.
Depends on the lineup you want to throw out there,
right,
too.
But even with their A lineup,
yeah,
they've been kind of taking it on the chin here. But either way, Orioles-Red Sox, we'll talk about it later on in the program. Nats beat Atlanta in 10 innings, 3-2. The Mets beat Miami 5-4 in 10 innings. What does all of this mean? Well, that means right now that the Mets are a game up on the Braves in the NL East. Both going to the playoffs, but the loser has to play in the wild card round, 2 out of 3 series. They'll host it.
Yeah.
And they're scheduled to play against each other in Atlanta this weekend, but because of the hurricane, they might have to relocate things.
Ooh, to New York? Probably not, would they?
Not sure.
Well,
it's going to rain in New York either. It's good. I mean, it's two. It's going to rain on the East Coast, apparently.
Yeah, because you saw like the Tampa football game. If they can't play that one, they're going to Minnesota in the dome.
Yeah, that's kind of a off the beaten path selection.
Well, probably one of the only teams that's, you know, not at home that has a facility to,
right,
you know.
But either way, that's the deal there. The Phillies lose to the Cubs. Brewers beat the Cardinals. So Milwaukee has moved to within a half game of Philadelphia for that last wild card spot in the National League. And last night, Vinny, I don't know how closely you pay attention to preseason hockey, but the Caps beat the Flyers 3-1.
No, zero. Hey, I don't pay any attention to it.
I saw the score. I was like, oh, that's right, they're playing. Who's Charlie Lindgren? Because he was in the he was between the pipes last night for the Caps.
I don't know. You know, the goaltending is going to be key for the Caps.
How about,
man?
Zach Vukali?
What was Ovi probably sitting upstairs in his suit?
I'm looking for a familiar name.
There wasn't any,
and I don't really see any.
Yeah,
quite frankly. But either way, preseason hockey has started. Basketball.
Don't want their guys to get hurt.
Yeah,
either.
Wizards are in Tokyo taking on the Warriors tomorrow night. So look, the winter sports are here, man. It's wild and wacky stuff here on September 29th. Whip around this day in boxing history, 1977. Oh, by the way, today's my mom's 82nd birthday. Oh,
happy birthday, Mom.
She's not listening, but I appreciate the sentiment. So happy birthday, Mom, by way of Vinny Serrato, and I will call you when I get home, even though you're not listening, so you have no idea that that's happening. But 82 years old. But on her 37th birthday at Madison Square Garden, Muhammad Ali won a unanimous decision over the acorn, Ernie Shavers, who sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago. The game was on NBC. It was Dick Enberg, Larry Merchant, and Ken Norton Sr. on the call. And do yourselves a favor, boxing fans. Go to YouTube, pull up second round Ali Shavers, and Muhammad Ali got hit harder than he ever got hit in that round and survived. Because Ernie Shavers, arguably the hardest punching heavyweight in the history of boxing. But that was 45 years. Get the bleep out of here.
Damn.
On this day in Orioles history, 1974, Memorial Stadium, Boot Powell walked with the bases loaded. Paul Blair scores. Orioles edge the Brewers 4-3. Grant Jackson gets the win in relief. Orioles on their way to the American League East Championship on this day in 1992. Tim Hewlett went yard at Tiger Stadium. Luis Mercedes, rest in peace. He had two ribbies. Ben McDonald picked up his 13th win. Orioles beat the Tigers 7-2. 2012, Norm, you were alive. Chris Davis, Manny Machado went yard. Tommy Hunter gets the win. Jim Johnson, his 49th save. Orioles edge the Red Sox 4-3. And on this day in 2016 at Rogers Center, I forgot his name. Hyun-Soo Kim? Manny Machado, Matt Wieters, and Michael Bourne all drove in runs. Ubaldo Jimenez picked up the win, and the Orioles shut out the Blue Jays 4-0 on their way to the wild card, which would end, sadly, in that same stadium just a few days later. That's this day in sports history on the Whip Around. We'll come back. Big day coming up Sunday. Ravens, 3-point underdogs at home against the Buffalo Bills. Clifton Brown, BaltimoreRavens.com. Talk about the injuries that will impact each team. And then it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw around 11:45. Marty Morningweg joins us. News from the Nest style coming up at noon, as he does every Thursday.
The one station with inside access to all Baltimore sports. 105.7 The Fan.
I see skies of blue.
There you go, Damon Evans.
And clouds of white.
Little Louis Armstrong for you. It's a wonderful world.
Blessed day.
By the way, thoughts and prayers to those in Florida feeling the wrath.
And I think to myself,
Ed's wife, 2 million without power. Horrible.
What a wonderful world.
Best wishes to everybody down there, and hope you get through it as safely as possible. But you know, as we get back into sports, Ravens taking on the Bills. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Ravens underdogs at home to a team that just lost. Well, it's to Miami, who won in Baltimore just a couple weeks ago. Dolphins play tonight. You can hear it on The Fan against the Bengals. We'll get into that later in the show. But from BaltimoreRavens.com, he's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome back to the program Clifton Brown. Clifton, morning, man. What's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Doing all right. And we'll start with Jason Pierre-Paul. He is signed. He's got a number. He was out there practicing. So we're guessing the chances of playing Sunday are pretty strong. And, you know, how slowly do they get him acclimated to the defense? Or is it, hey, all hands on deck, get out there and chase that quarterback?
Yeah, I think the latter there, Bob. I think, you know, if he can play Sunday, they feel that he can help them, you know, on some snaps, get some pressure on Josh Allen. They'll put him out there. I mean, JPP, he's been in the league 12 years. He knows how to get to the quarterback. He knows defenses. He's sure he's not going to be 100% up to speed on Sunday, but if he's in good enough shape to play some meaningful snaps, you know, with them not being that thick at all outside linebacker, particularly now with Justin Houston nursing a groin injury, I think that if they can get him out there Sunday, they will.
Now, with Michael Pierce apparently choosing to have surgery, what's the pecking order on the D-line? Who are the guys that really need to step up? And I guess Clifton counting on some of the younger players to fill that role.
No question. I mean, you know, Calais Campbell's playing well, but he played a lot of snaps and has played a lot of snaps this year. So I think they want to kind of try and reduce that moving forward. And, you know, the main guy you got to look at who's probably going to get more action is Travis Jones. I mean, he had a great training camp and preseason, and then got hurt in that second preseason game. Made his debut Sunday, got his feet wet, looked really good. You know, like I said earlier, before he was injured, I think he's going to – his snap count will go up. You know, Justin Madubuike, Roderick Washington, Calais, Brent Urban, all those guys got to move up a slot. But, yeah, certainly they're going to miss Michael Pierce. Pierce was playing well.
Yep.
But that is one of their strongest groups, the defensive line. And I think Travis Jones, you're going to see him become more of a factor now.
The thing, Clifton, this weekend, I mean, this is going to be the best pass rush they've seen. You know, and with Russo and with Von Miller and Boogie Basham and their inside guys, you know, get off the ball too. I mean, this is going to be a huge challenge for the Ravens.
Oh, no question. I mean, seems like, you know, after the first two games, people were just writing Buffalo's ticket to the Super Bowl. So, you know, they're an AFC favorite, no question. They're really talented on both sides of the ball. And specifically when you talk about their pass rush, sure. I mean, Von Miller's one of the best who's ever done it. It's going to be a challenge. I do think that the Ravens are helped by, you know, as they always are, Lamar's mobility and also his presence now in the pocket. He just seems to be really comfortable kind of knowing where the pressure is going to come from and being able to deal with it. So that's certainly not a total solution. They're going to have to block these guys and give Lamar time to operate. But, yeah, I mean, you know, when you play a good team, it presents a challenge. So this will be another indication of where the Ravens early in the season stack up against you know, some of the top teams in the AFC, specifically, in this case, the Bills.
I think the thing that kind of hurts the Ravens, this is not a run team, you know, and the Ravens' defensive front is much better against the run than they are the pass. You know, so those big guys, the Washingtons and the Travis Joneses and stuff, I don't know how much of a factor they're going to be. Hopefully, Madubuike, you know, like the rush that he had last week, hopefully he can put about three or four of them, you know, together. But they're going to have to find a way to get some pressure.
Yeah, no, I mean, and when you get to Josh Allen, that doesn't necessarily mean you can bring him down.
No, he's like Big Ben was.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, when seems like in key situations, you know, third and two, third and three, he's more apt to run there than to me, knowing that he can usually get the first down himself rather than messing around trying to throw it to somebody. And, you know, he's also an aggressive quarterback. He'll take deep shots. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, what happened in the Miami game. Certainly last week the Ravens, you know, played a lot better. But, you know, the improvement still, to me, needs to be made. And I think the defense will get better as the season goes along. And the Ravens have shown the ability to get takeaways this season, which is something we did not see a lot last year. So Josh Allen will take chances. I mean, Stephon Diggs is a great receiver, but Allen's going to try and push the ball downfield sometimes when the windows may not be that open. And in situations like that, when the Ravens have a chance in the secondary to get their hands on the football in this game, I think it's going to be important for them to come up with a couple of turnovers to kind of help the offense out and help the defense out.
Clifton, the two matchups that I don't like for the Ravens is, you know, which linebacker is going to cover Singletary, number one. And then number two with McKenzie, I don't know who they have speed-wise, especially in the slot, that can match up with his speed.
They've got a lot of weapons. It's going to be a test for the entire defense. And, yeah, I mean, Allen, to me, has gotten better in his career, as most quarterbacks do, at identifying mismatches before the snap and then taking advantage of them. So, yeah, I mean, this could be a high-scoring game. I think, you know, Ravens, defensively, they feel like they're going to get better every week, and certainly they're going to be hyped up for this challenge. But, you know, I think a lot of these high-powered offenses, as we've seen, are just difficult to stop sometimes when you get it rolling. So I think it's going to be important for the Ravens to finish drives with touchdowns in this game. I think it's going to be an advantage for them to capitalize on any opportunities they have to score because, yeah, the less points they get, then the more pressure that puts on the defense to try and hold Josh Allen down. And, you know, it's possible, but it's a really tough job to really shut down an offense with this many weapons.
Hey, Clifton, what concerns, if any, do you have on Stout? Because in two games now, he's kind of had a shank. And when he did shank it, they were both kind of in critical times of the game.
Well, he's a rookie. I mean, he definitely is capable of punting better than he did, you know, last couple of weeks. We know that. So hopefully whatever, you know, he has done wrong on those particular kicks, he figures out a way to, you know, correct them. I mean, this kid has tremendous talent. I think he's going to be a heck of a punter for a long time. But this is his first year. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, having some bumps along the way is normal, but I think he has the talent to figure it out. But, yes, in this game, really any game, but certainly you don't want to give this offense a short field at any time if you can avoid it.
Clifton Brown, BaltimoreRavens.com, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Clifton, what do you think about tonight's game? Miami, who you saw up close and personal, taking on Cincinnati, who's going to be here next week. Game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, by the way. Bengals got their first win. Miami right now trying to stay undefeated.
Yeah, really interesting game. I think Miami's kind of playing with house money a little bit. You know, being on the road, already 3-0, short week. Obviously, it'd be a great win for them to get the 4-0, but, you know, not a disaster if they don't win it. I think it's a bigger game for the Bengals. I don't think anyone envisioned them starting 1-3, which they would be, you know, if they were to lose this game. And, yeah, I mean, you know, the Bengals, if they keep on not playing well, you know, and then facing the Ravens next week, they could really be in trouble as far as trying to win the division. And, you know, that's always the number one priority. To me, when you start a season, is trying to win your division. That guarantees you, obviously, a playoff spot and a home playoff game. So, it'll be interesting to see if the Bengals can avoid going 1-3. Miami, to me, has been a little bit of a surprise that they've shown a lot of resiliency so far as they did against Baltimore. So I know the Ravens will be watching, and I'm sure a lot of Ravens fans will be watching this game tonight. Should be one of the better Thursday night games, on the slate.
Clifton Brown, BaltimoreRavens.com. Clifton, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Clifton.
You got it. We'll do our picks for this game later on in the program. We'll come back, take a phone call, get to the fun house. Marty Morningway is going to be joining us top of the hour. I'm sure, Vinny, he's got some interesting thoughts on this game.
Absolutely.
Were Burrow and Tua in the same draft class, right?
Burrow and Tua, yes, they were.
And Herbert was mixed in with the fun, too. So we'll talk to Marty Morningweg about that more. Buy or sell, let's count the late week money at 12:15. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Orioles at 135, taking on the Red Sox. They lose yesterday 3-1. Dean Kramer, he gave up a couple pesky pole home runs. No run support. They got the A-team out there, but is it too little, too late? Look at the Bills defensively, film study-wise, coming up around 12:45. We got a busy Total Request Thursday. Be part of it here on the Fan.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Total Request Thursday. You're picking the songs. 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of hours. Marty Morningweg joining us. Top of the hour. Talk some NFL with him. Big game tonight for week 4 anyway. Miami undefeated at Cincinnati. You can hear it on The Fan. So we got a lot to get to. Orioles taking on the Red Sox series finale. Birch trying to salvage a split. I'll give you the lineup. In the next hour, Rich Dubroff will be joining us at 12:30 from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Let's get out to the phones. Go to East Baltimore. It's Jason. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, Uncle Bob, Uncle Vinny, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, man, you're good.
Gotcha.
Hey, man, always a party when I get a chance to talk to y'all. I'm very excited about this weekend. I think we're going to fare actually well. I think we're going to beat Buffalo because, like the experts say, the last two times we was underdogs at home, we won and Lamar showed out. And I think us fans be more worried about the opposition who we facing more than Lamar do. That kid is fearless, man. I'm really excited about how he's playing football this year. Shout outs to Adam Dito. Vinny, I got a question for you. You got to be real with me, though, because you've been in those front offices before. How is this going to play out with Lamar and his contract situation? Because if the Ravens didn't want to pay him what he was asking for before, the kind of season he has, or he's going to have, or he's having, how would they be able to pay that if his demand is going to be higher due to his pay? I'm kind of skeptical and worried about that situation.
See, I don't think it's about the amount of money. I think it's how it's paid out is the problem. It's the guarantee. You know, that Lamar wants it all guaranteed. They don't want to do that. That is the holdup. I think the Ravens are willing to pay him the money, but they don't want to make it all guaranteed.
I got one more question for you, then I'm going to go. The quarterback with Minnesota, what's his name?
Cousins.
I always forget. Cousins. Is his contract fully guaranteed, or is that just fugazi?
No, he's not fully guaranteed.
He got franchised a bunch of times.
Well, if you're franchised, then it's fully guaranteed. But, they extended him like a year.
Okay, right, because like a lot of the like NFL websites and stuff like that, they say that his $35 million extension is fully guaranteed. So I was trying to figure out, what's the difference in him asking for that or Deshaun Watson versus Lamar. But if his isn't guaranteed, then that's all I needed to know. Yeah. All right, go Ravens. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jason, thank you.
Lamar's going to want, but I mean, if he continues to play as is, he's going to want $300 million.
And we were talking to Jason Schultz a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And he said, from the score, it was on ESPN, has followed Lamar's contract closely. It's basically Lamar wants more than Deshaun Watson. And if it's $230 million guaranteed and 75 cents, that'll probably get it done. The Ravens would give him maybe, what did Mahomes get? Almost half a bill. But if Lamar, $300 million, for instance, it's not going to be $300 million guaranteed. The Ravens would give him maybe $200. You think he's up to $200 mil guaranteed if he turned down the $160 to $180, as ESPN reported?
See, I think you can give him that kind of guarantee, Bob, as long as they're not guaranteeing the whole thing. They don't want to guarantee the whole contract because just opens a can of worms. Then all of a sudden, well, Lamar got it. You know, then you got, you know, then the next guy wants it, you know. So it just creates a lot of problems.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in on this Total Request Thursday. Quick draw, what's happening?
Doing pretty good. I remember a couple weeks ago, we're talking about Judge, his home runs, who's catching them, you know, the value of those balls, right?
Oh, yeah.
So last night, I don't know if you saw the replay video of it.
I did.
The fans in left field there, this close. I mean, just inches away from catching that one. They let it fall into the bullpen. So no fan walked away with number 61 in the bullpen.
Zach Britton had it from what I heard this morning.
Yeah, it looks like bullpen coach Matt Bushman for Toronto, he caught it. And then Zach Britton came over from the Yankees pen and said, hey, we'll take it from you. We'll get it to Judge. So no transaction necessary.
I saw the one dude, like, when it went down into the bullpen, he took his glove off and threw it.
Right. Yeah, the reactions.
Yeah, you bring a glove and you don't make the play, you suck.
Yeah.
You deserve that one.
Now, Hank Aaron, 7-15, that passed Babe Ruth. Tom House caught it in the bullpen. Now the quarterback guru, like Dito, Lamar's guy, is a disciple of Tom House.
Did he just hand it to
that
him?
I don't know. I think he just gave it to Hank Aaron. Back then, I don't think memorabilia was kind of fleece you for every dime you can possibly get. That was probably a teammate just going, hey, dude, congratulations. Because Tom House was a pitcher.
I mean, if you're a teammate, I mean, that's kind of what you got to do.
Yeah, I don't think Zach Britton's going to go, that'll be $3 million, friend.
Yeah.
No. But could you imagine, because there was the Toronto bullpen coach that initially caught it. Do you imagine the uproar if he was like, no, I'm going to think about this?
Yeah, he would not look good in the eyes of baseball professionals. But 62 is going to be the one that's worth the dough. And some slappy in Yankee Stadium's probably going to catch it.
Yeah.
And then really fleece him. But anyway, it is what it is. I didn't catch it, so it doesn't matter.
Or you could be like Pujols. Hey, let the fan get
that's
the money.
Say, hey, you pay? You pay to be here? Go ahead and take it. 5880-1057, the fan. The Pujols is like, Artie Moreno gave me enough money where I don't need that ball. 5880-1057, the fan. Let's go to the funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Mike here checking in says, I think it's laughable to look at JPP as some sort of savior for the defense. If this was 2018, maybe, but it's not. He'll help in some capacity, but he's not the answer.
I think all they're looking for is help. They're not looking for Von Miller to walk in the door, you know? But if he can come in, the biggest thing is come in and have another guy on the other side, kind of like Houston gave them a little bit, just so Owe, you know, is not, I don't know if it's worth doubling Owe anymore or chipping him. You know, I mean, to me, you got to prove that you can do it first. But they just need, 49, the kid that come in, I mean, he's stiff as a board. You know, I mean, JPP will give him something, and he's smart, and he's been there and done it, and he's got every counter in the world.
This one here on the Orioles, Texter agrees, but he's aiming his heat at Brandon Hyde, says he deserves all the criticism for mailing in the season with that BS lineup last night. What a joke. No good manager benches 3-star players in a wild card chase.
Right. And how did the analytics, if in fact that was how he based his lineup, work out? They got mowed down. I mean, Rich Hill, his last two starts against the Orioles, has looked like, you know, he looked like Randy Johnson, just spinning up that, you know, that whatever it is you want to call it to the plate, and the Orioles looking flummoxed, mystified, overmatched.
You know what that would be like, Bob? That would be like, say, you know, when Huntley started some games last year, he played great against one team, and he's got phenomenal stats against, let's say, Green Bay. And, you know, Well, we're going to start Huntley. We're going to bench Lamar because he's got better stats in this game.
Makes no sense.
Thank you.
Sorry. Best player's got to be on the field.
And one more here from Dave in Dover. Again, on Lamar's contract. Could you see them front-loading the first couple years of a five-year deal, we're assuming here, and then going fully guaranteed on the back end? That way Lamar gets some guaranteed money. Bisciotti doesn't have to escrow as much. I don't know if that makes much sense there.
I think it makes sense. But I don't. That's a lot of math for me to figure out right now.
Right.
A lot of dollar signs. But, I mean, as long as Bisciotti doesn't want to guarantee the whole thing, bottom line. You know, let's say Lamar goes, wins the Super Bowl, he's MVP and all that. Probably give him whatever he wants.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Marty Morningweg, former Ravens offense coordinator, joining us when we come back. Talk about Lamar versus Josh Allen, Tua versus Joe Burrow tonight, and all the other NFL news fit to talk about. Buy or sell, where's the cake? Find out at 12:15, and we'll talk about the Orioles, their final seven games of the season, wrapping it up at Fenway this afternoon. Give you the lineup as well. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We're going to do film study of the Buffalo defense. Talked about their offense earlier. They're good. Is Buffalo equally as good on the defensive side of the ball? We'll find out. And Mike Harmon's going to give you some fantasy football advice coming up at 1:30. Oh, and by the way, if you want to dress appropriately for the Ravens-Bills, Ravens are wearing their purple color rush uniform. So bring it out of the closet.
And your raincoat.
And your umbrella.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.